Paul Tocco, from the wonderful 20th District, which houses, among other very important institutions, WAMC, I wanted to ask you a question about your views on the Senate filibuster, which I have to tell you have me disparate. I mean, I don't know where we want to go with this one. On the one hand, you know, right now there's a lot of work to be done, and it's great if you didn't have a filibuster. And a, you know, 50-50 split in the Senate, you got a vice president who's going to work with you on this if you're a Democrat. On the other hand, they may win the next set of elections, and then they'll use the filibuster. Believe me, they will. We've seen it already. They'll use the filibuster to help themselves.
No matter what party is in the majority, I think the American people want need a Congress that can pass common sense legislation that solves real problems. And I think it goes to the heart of our democratic republic, building a government that represents the votes and the will of the people. And, the filibuster is something that wasn't anchored in the Constitution has become, I think, a major concern. These changes have gradually turned the Senate, the reliance on the filibuster, which goes back into the 1700s, but it was rarely used. But it has turned the Senate, I believe, from what once was dubbed the world's greatest deliberative body, what is today like a hyper-partisan legislative graveyard. And as a result, America's democratic institutions and faith in our republic both fall. And we pay the price. You know, the filibuster was used more and more from like 1970 forward, and even back before that, to end or stop civil rights legislation. And, you know, the examples of so many things that were blocked by the filibuster, I think could be very helpful if we modified it, if we addressed it. You know, you think of it, 90% of Americans support universal background checks on gun sales. And the Manchin-Toomey bipartisan gun violence prevention package failed in the Senate back just a short while ago, despite they had 54 members voting for it. And, you know, we voted this through in the House again this past week. But with the new out-of-control filibuster in place in the Senate, the minority party can block even the most popular and common sense life-saving reforms. So, you know, we've got too many things coming forward: voting rights, good government reform, climate change, environmental protections, immigration reform, civil rights legislation, trying to do the whole effort in the memory of John Lewis, where they said they were going to address what the Supreme Court said needed to be fixed in the Voting Rights Act. Still no action. So I think the fact that, you know, most people think a majority is 50% plus one. And here we need to deal with 60%. That's a big difference. And I think it's a way to stop very progressive legislation. There needs to be reforms in this process, and the reliance in that simple filibuster. Look, if you want to get out there and talk for hours and hours, that's one thing. But this is an instant bit of filibuster. You just make the call and the blockade is done. And I just think that it's holding back too much progressive legislation.
I don't know if you were too young to remember Howdy Doody. Do you remember Howdy Doody?
I do.
Because Howdy Doody had an uncle, I believe, and his name was Phineas T. Bluster, or Filibuster, don't you see? I thought I'd mention that just in terms of lightening up the show a bit. So Paul Tocco, how's Biden doing?
I think Biden is doing tremendously well. You know, many wondered whether or not he could get this COVID bill done. And I know that the president is pushing very hard for bipartisan, bicameral work, response to his proposals. But he has also said, if you're not going to join in, we're moving forward. And, you know, I think this country, most would agree, is in need of healing. There has to be something done to bring the acrimony take the acrimony that's divided not only our government but the country, and heal this nation. And I believe that he is the right person at the right time. I hope we now move forward in truly more bipartisan spirit as we address infrastructure, as the needs out there, that the plan hopefully will be holistic, that will address items like grid modernization and broadband and water, drinking water and wastewater, along with our roads and bridges. That will put people to work for essential projects. And, you know, we're going to be going forward with all kinds of efforts to, you know, again, build what is a progressive agenda. And I think this president is showing that he has utilized his insider status to understand how the Senate operates, how to have these relationships over decades of time and utilize them and work with them, and his past experience as a vice president to really use those skills and experience, which seems to have been kicked aside in the last couple of elections. People in 2016 voted, I think, for an outsider to shake up the place. And I think we found out that that didn't prove as beneficial as people had thought. And I think it was intentional to then hire an insider like Joe Biden, who knows the workings of the Hill in Washington, knows the workings at the White House, and is now showing that that experience has proven to be successful for the American people.
You know, my doctorate was paid for by the NIMH. They wanted a political scientist or two who would understand the problems of the mentally ill. So I'd like to pay them back now with a question for you. There is the Mental Health Research Act, the COVID-19 Mental Health Research Act. And this last couple of weeks, one of great giants of mental health in New York State, Alan Miller, passed away. He had been the commissioner under Rockefeller for a long time. Wonderful, wonderful man. But I wanted to ask you whether or not we are truly ever have a chance of getting to the point where we were really serious about treating the mentally ill.
I sure hope so. And I think that, you know, what we have seen over the last year is a climb in the number of concerns for suicide, cases have mounted, addiction cases have mounted, and certainly the concern for contact and outreach with mental health providers has been a very difficult challenge. Telemedicine was helpful there. But I have introduced with Senator Amy Klobuchar legislation that would address the mental health impact of COVID-19 on our nation, with a focus on frontliners, children, and all demographics, making certain that we invest through the National Institute of Mental Health in a study that is done so as to develop a blueprint for how to go forward so that we can better support our medical professionals, our emergency responders, our families and children alike, and provide them the necessary resources to recover from this pandemic. So I'm very encouraged by the interest in the legislation. We had a great kickoff press conference last week. And, you know, we are advancing resources for mental health responses in the COVID package and routinely through the federal budget. But now I think we need a blueprint that will tell us just how best to utilize those dollars and to know, have all the data that are available with us so that we can respond in, again, a laser sharp focused manner to the mental health needs of this country. We have seen, you know, the stress that has been there for our frontliners. We've had nurses serving and medical types serving as surrogates for families as their loved ones were dying and they could not be visited. They could not be there to hold their hand and, you know, and just be that kind of comfort. And these folks have been not only the medical providers, but they've also been surrogate family members for countless many. So a great concern for the mental health deterioration that has been there.
You know what? I'm going to cut that out and send it to the NIMH people and say, see what supporting Shartok's education did for you? So, Voltongo, thank you so much for being with us and for being such a great guy. We really appreciate it.
Well, it is always my pleasure, and I thank you for the leadership of AMC. Thank you for the resource you are. They share the news. They spread the word. And messaging is so important in the development of sound public policy. So thank you.